Hi, my name is Steve Elzinga, and we're in this class on enterprise, and we've started sort of thinking about your own personal finances before we start thinking about business kinds of things. You have to be able to organize your own life before you can start organizing other things, bigger things. Last time we talked about personal finances and budgets and how to maintain budgets. In this next few sessions, I want to talk about saving money, how to save money. Benjamin Franklin, one of the authors and well-known personalities from American history, once said, "A penny saved is a penny earned." Actually, a penny saved is a penny earned plus interest. Any money that you have is not just money that you have. Jesus once told a parable of the talents. One person had one talent, and that was a certain amount of money. And the other guy got five or two, and the other one got five. And then both worked really hard, and the guy that had five doubled it to ten. The guy who had two doubled it to four. And the guy who had one hid it under his tent. And Jesus commended the guy that had five, the guy that had two, but he had harsh words to say to the one who hid it under his tent. And what he said was, you could have at least put it with the bank and got some interest. So the way to think about any money that you have or any money that you saved, it's not just money. It's money that is growing. Money doesn't just stay there. If you do something with your money, it grows. Generally, we call that interest. Well, some Bible verses about saving money. Proverbs 10, verse 5, "A wise youth makes hay while the sun shines, but what a shame to see a lad who sleeps away his hour of opportunity." The farmer, in the summer, takes advantage of the rain and the good sunshine, and he goes to the field, and he cuts the hay, and then you let it dry, and then you roll it, and then you bale it, and then you stick it in the barn. I moved to the farm when I was in ninth grade, and so we had cows, and we did all this work in the summer, and we stored it up for the winter. We saved from the summer. We saved from our hour of opportunity. So saving is taking advantage of what you have for later. Proverbs 6, verse 6, "Go to the ant, you sluggard, consider its ways and be wise. It has no commander, no overseer or ruler, yet it stores its provisions in summer and gathers its food at harvest." So again, this idea of taking advantage of when you get something, saving it for later. Well, why save money? Number one, expected future needs. So, you know, maybe you're a young person and you want to get married. So there's an expected need, marriage. Marriage costs money. You get married and all of a sudden you want your own place. You're not living in your parents' place. And you may have to find rent, or maybe you want to buy a place. When you're young and you're going to school, I used my bike. I didn't really need a car. But as I got older and I got a job, I needed a car. So that's a future need. Housing, that's a future need. Maybe school, and you want to go on to get more schooling, that's a future need. Of course, if you go to CLI, this one's free. So you start saving because right now you have a means of making money, but in the future you may need that money for something expected. Then we have all kinds of unexpected needs. Things, repairs. I've been driving a Jeep for the last several years, and last year the whole body rusted out. And when I took it to the shop, they said they wouldn't repair my brakes until I got my whole frame fixed because it was worth nothing. And then, but all of a sudden that was going to cost $2,000. Now that's, I wasn't expecting that. I was driving and everything was fine. The brakes weren't working. And all of a sudden, it's a huge bill. Health situations. All of a sudden you have health problems. And that's going to have some cost. So you have all these things in your future right now that you don't have, but who knows in the future, so you save money. Number three, big ticket items, things like cars, things like your house, or let's say you want to go to graduate school, or let's say a business opportunity comes by and you want to be able to take advantage of that. Or finally, number four, future goals. Again, things like education, maybe you want a bigger house, you want to expand your family, you have one child and you're going to have two more, and you need more room. You know, when I started out, I got married, I had a Volkswagen Bug. It was just my wife and I, but then within 5 years, we had four children. And so all of a sudden, we had to get a minivan. So all these things in life cost money, but when you need the money, you don't have the money. It takes a few years to get the money. So that's why you save. Oppositions to saving money. The problem with saving money is you have a lot of present needs. You have bills that you're paying, and a lot of times the tendency is to spend what we have. So you're making a certain salary, and then you take that salary, and there's all these things that you need and want, and so you tend to spend all the money that you make on your present needs. Then your boss gives you a raise. And what happens? Some of the things that you didn't know you needed, all of a sudden, now you need. Our needs tend to grow with our income. Someone once asked Howard Hughes, one of the wealthiest men in America, at least back in that time, they asked him, you know, you're always trying to make money, 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 money. And they asked him, well, how much is enough? And Howard Hughes said, just a little bit more. And the average person, if you ask them, hey, do you think, what would make your life better, less stressful? And almost anyone, no matter what their income level is, they will always say, if I just had a little bit more money. The person that makes $10,000 a year, the person that makes $50,000 a year, the person that makes $300,000 a year, everyone is in that same boat. I need just a little bit more to break even. So our present needs tend to swallow up the income that we presently have. So saving, how are you going to save? Everything is already taken out. And remember that we talked about this whole monthly bill thing or monthly charge. Everything is broken down by the month. So people take their salary and they take their monthly charges out of that and, well, I have a little room. I can buy this next thing. I can afford it. And eventually, everything that they make goes towards their present needs. Number two, not just your present needs. Those are the things you think you need. Your present wants. There's all these things I need and I'm getting, but then there's the things I want. I want a new car, or I want a better house, or I'd like a new set of clothes, or these shoes that just came out I would like. I play pickleball, and everyone is getting this new racket, and I still have my old racket. I don't need it, I already have a racket. But everyone else has this new one, and they're playing a little bit better than I am, and so now I want it too. It's hard not to succumb to what everyone else is doing around you, and there's always people around you that have a little bit more of what you have. And so the wants tend to take up the money that you would otherwise save. And number three, oppositions to saving is addiction to spending. We live at least here in the United States, and it seems to, go all around the world. We live in a very consumer-oriented world. There's so much stuff to buy. Back when Henry Ford first started the car business, He said you can have any color you want a car as long as it's black. There was no choices. One thing you buy. But now there's so much choice in virtually everything. A couple weeks ago I went to the store and I was interested in getting a toothbrush. And so I just need a toothbrush. I go to the store, I look at the aisle that has all the toothbrush and the stuff, and there isn't just one sitting there that I can grab. There's this one that has the little curly thing, and it bends here in the middle, but that one was $9. And then right next to it, you could get actually two for $8. Okay, $9, I get the one, but it's nicer, but I could get two for $8. And then they had the super model, and then they had the electric ones, which were $50, but some of them were $20, and some of them were $80. And it's like, you know, I need someone to come and help me pick out the toothbrushes. I don't know what to do. There's so much choice. So many options, so many things that you could have and want, that it becomes an addicting kind of thing. People, they've actually done studies of this. When you buy something new, certain chemicals are released in your body and they give you a high. You feel good. You go on Amazon and you buy something and it feels good for a little while. And then it wears off. Or you buy a pair of new shoes, and the next day you wear them, and you think everybody's looking at your shoes going, wow, cool shoes. But a week later, you don't even care about your shoes. So it sort of wears off. The high is there, but it wears off. But your brain gets used to that high. It wants that high again. And it remembers how it got the high. How did it get the high? It got the high when you bought something. So we go shopping and we buy things we don't need. My father recently died 3 months ago, and we had to go to his place and you know, sort of sort through all the stuff. And so much stuff. It was unbelievable. I mean, there was boxes of it. He had like 8 packages of toner for his printer alone. It was like he must have gotten a deal on printer cartridges. He had more cartridges than he could possibly use in 3 lifetimes. But there they were, stuck in the. He had a fax machine still in the drawer. He had all this stuff, everything that he had acquired all these years. Stuff, stuff, stuff. And we get addicted to it. It's a chemical dependency, the feeling that we get from all this shopping. And so there's no room left to save anything. When we have money, we want to take care of that feeling we have. We want that buying high, and so we buy something again. So our present needs swallow up what we might otherwise save. Our present wants swallow up what we might otherwise save, and this addiction to shopping swallows up what we might otherwise save. Well, how to protect your savings? So it's like the culture is against you, your own body is against you, the people around, your family and friends, everyone's got the new clothes on, they got the new shoes, they got the latest thing of this, the latest gadget, the latest phone, the latest computer, the latest online sensation, on and on and on. All these things are sort of going against us. So how do we protect ourselves? How do we combat these natural things and actually save money? Number one, the best way is to invest. Invest into something. And an investment might be something like the stock market or the money market, something that gives you interest. It might be investing in someone else's business. It might be buying a piece of property. I bought a piece of property with my son. We own 9 acres in the country. We're investing, we're putting it into something that we think may, in fact, go up. Now, I have to pay taxes. We both have to pay taxes on that property every year. And that's part of our investment. The money naturally goes towards it. I can't spend it on other things that I want. I put away a certain amount of money in my portfolio for retirement. I just automatically do that every single month. It comes right out of my paycheck. I don't even have to think about it. It just goes right there in that automatic investment. The second thing that you could do is separate your funds. Like actually, when you get paid, you take your funds and you actually put them in different categories. Some people actually take their paycheck, cash it, they get actual cash, and then they come home and then they have envelopes. This is for food. This is for entertainment. This is for that thing I'm trying to buy. This is my savings. This is my gift to church. And they actually stick the money in an envelope. And what's nice about that system is when you go to the entertainment envelope and there's nothing in it, your entertainment for that month is done. You spent the entertainment envelope early in the month. And maybe you should have waited. And it teaches you the next month to manage your money a little bit better. So separating your funds into the categories where you really want the money to go will keep you from that addiction. I'd like to buy this thing, but I don't have any money in the buying that thing envelope. You know, I'm only going to buy this amount of money for my electronic gadgets for next year. And when that envelope is empty, I'm done for this year. Number three, automatic savings account. I've talked about that. You get your check and it automatically, a portion, whatever you decide, automatically, the bank does it without talking to you, without you thinking about it, without you having to push buttons, sign things, do things. It just automatically happens. Number four, cash only rule. That's that whole envelope thing where you decide you're only going to use cash. By the way, for most people, this is the only one that works. For most people that struggle with saving, they can't seem to save no matter what, they've tried this, they've tried that, the cash system is the one that works. And it works partly because if you have the cash in an envelope and there's nothing in the envelope, then you can't spend it. And secondly, it works because cash is heavier than credit. A credit card is very light. And whether you spend $1,000 or $5 or $10 or $100, the credit card, it's just as easy. You just give it to the person, they give it back, you sign something. And you can do that for $1,000 or you can do it for $5. It's the same effort. But if you had to buy a $5,000 car with cash and you went to the bank and got $20 bills, it'd be a stack this high. Now, walking to the car place and handing over a stack of $20 bills this high hurts. So this is a lot of money. Whereas a piece of plastic doesn't always say this is a lot of money. So psychologically, just the idea of handing over money. I mean, even if you're in a restaurant and the bill comes to $30, when you reach into your wallet and you pull out the cash and give it to them, it seems like more money than just signing your name. And it teaches your brain not to spend. It teaches your brain to save. And the same thing is true with your saving. When you save it and you're putting in those $20 bills and the thing is getting fat, it's like, hey, we're actually getting somewhere. Whereas if you're just saving in the bank, it's just a number. And the number is just changing. All right. Godly attitude towards saving. Number one, all your money belongs to God. I made this point in an earlier video. All your money belongs to God, not just 10%. That was the Old Testament tithe. At least 10% belongs to God, but all of it really belongs to God. Once you understand that every dime you have belongs to God, it'll be a whole lot easier to save some. And why am I saving it? I'm saving it for myself, for the personal needs that I have, for unexpected needs that happen, for my personal goals. But I'm also saving it because the godly opportunities that are going to come my way, I want to be ready for. my brother and sister-in-law couldn't have children, and so they looked into this whole adoption thing, and they had an opportunity, and it was going to cost them money. Well, I had some money I could give them because I had some savings. And because I had some savings, I could respond to the need that was current right then, and they could take advantage of the opportunity that they had. So understand, first of all, that all your money belongs to God, and so I don't want to be a part of an addiction thing, you know, the shopping addiction. This is God's money, and I'm using God's money to satisfy some addiction that I have. Number two, you have to understand that you'll be held accountable for every dollar you get. I said in an earlier video that my father died a few months ago, and my father was a businessman. He started probably 18 different businesses in his lifetime. And he has money, but I told him the last 10 years, I said, Dad, you know, you have this money, and don't have this mentality. Well, I'm going to have all this money, and I'm going to leave it to all you kids. I said, I don't know if I want you to leave me this money, because if I get this money, one day I have to stand before God, and God's going to say, what did you do with the money that your dad left you? I would rather have God say that to you. You earned it. You made this thing happen. And it's not just about making money. It's about doing something good with the money that God enabled you to make. So what good thing do you want to do with his money? So 10 years ago, he started his own sort of a trust thing that he could give to charities. And you know, I have control of that now. But it was like he put some of the things that he had done into a thing that could only give money away. That's a good thing, because now he stands before God and he has to answer for all the money that God allowed him to make. So you'll be held accountable for every dollar you get. And finally, number three, your money has a purpose. Remember, I think in the first couple of videos, we talked about what money is. Money is just the common denominator that we take, and we take everyone's work, and we reduce it to something we can all understand. Otherwise, you know, I would have to, you know, if I'm a mechanic, I have to fix your car, but you are a doctor, and so you take my kidney out, or whatever problem that I have, and we don't know how to figure this out. So we've reduced everything that everyone does to money. It's just a common denominator for work and time. Well, what's the purpose of work and time? What's the purpose of our being on the planet doing the things that we do? God has the purpose of us on this planet doing all the things that we do so that more and more people can hear about his son, Jesus. That's it. The only reason why this earth keeps doing and going on is because God has not reached all the people that he wants to reach. It's ministry. Ultimately, all of life, all of business, all of money making, everything that we do, family, cars, buying cars, houses, fun, vacations, all of it, the purpose of all of it, is to reach people that God wants reached. So once you understand that, you're freed from, you know, competing with other people, you know, in terms of houses and cars. You're freed from this addiction of shopping. There's nothing that you can take with you. There's no U-Haul behind the hearse. No one takes a thing with them. So the purpose of all of it, purpose of all that we have, the money that we have, the time that we do, all the work that we do, it's for his glory. Once you understand that, it becomes easier to save. You're not just saving money, you're saving potential. Thank you.